Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Kim will, of course, continue to follow the day's developments. Keep us posted if anything new happens. I appreciate that. This is Steve Bertrand. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're going to talk to Scott Kleinberg. We'll go to New York a little bit later to talk about Twitter and its involvement or the reaction on Twitter to this day's developments and Saturday's as well, and talk to him about all things social media a little bit later. Adam Carolla will be on the program in the second half hour talking about podcasting. He's bringing his live podcast to Chicago this Saturday, I think, at the Vic. So we'll talk to Adam. I want to ask him about luck, because he just did a sort of an online monologue about luck and that he's not lucky. And, you know, there was an economist, I think, from Princeton who had a book out earlier this year who said that the successful people in this world are very lucky. I think I've been very lucky. So luck comes into play, I think. Not that I think I'm very successful. The Inno boys are here. You can laugh out loud. But, you know, I think a lot of times good fortune or something like that has something to do with it. So we'll talk to Adam. And if it doesn't go well with Adam Carolla, and I have a hard time sometimes with comedians, I'll just catch an Uber plane and fly to Traverse City. Jim Dahlke and Will Flanagan are here from Chicago Inno. And that's where I want to start. What is this Uber for planes idea?
Yeah, Uber for planes is kind of a topic and a sort of an idea for a startup that's kind of been kicked around a little while ever since Uber took off, and everyone's been trying to do on-demand everything, and people are trying to figure out, well, how can I make Uber for airplanes? And actually, right. The FAA has not really loved the idea of Uber for airplanes, because it doesn't want to pair you with just any old guy with a pilot's license.
Well, that is, but didn't they rule, like, if pilots do this, then they have to get a commercial license?
Right. So there's been a lot of regulations. The FAA actually effectively shut down a startup in Boston who tried to do this exact same thing.
But if you're flying like a 6 or 9 person airplane from here to Muskegon, you probably have a commercial license, don't you? Or
so it depends on what kind of pilot you are. I don't know all the ins and outs of pilot license, but the FAA basically said that we can't just start pairing passengers with any old guy with a pilot's license. So basically, Uber for airplanes has had a tough go of it, but the startup in Chicago is really doing just that. A startup called Open Airplane, which started in 2013, it was really a plane rental service for pilots. So think about as making renting a plane as easy as renting a car.
Right.
They have expanded into essentially Uber for airplanes. They are connecting travelers with pilots. The only difference now is that if you're making the Uber comparison, it's not so much the Uber for X model where it's pairing you with any pilot available. It's more the Uber Black model, pairing you with a private chauffeur. So these are professional pilots that have commercial
licenses. So it's like a Angie's List for pilots in a way.
Yes. So you're matching up with a pilot who has a professional license, who has the FAA okay to do this sort of thing. And basically it's you know, kind of getting through to some of these smaller, medium-sized cities. If you want to get up to Traverse City, Michigan, you can use Fly Auto is the name of the startup.
I love that. Fly Auto, right?
Yeah. From airplane. One of my favorite things about this story is there's a quote from the founder where he said, "We designed our business to be completely legal from day one." And isn't that kind of like, that tells you everything you need to know about tech, that's a novel concept.
Yeah.
Well, what makes us different is that we're legal. Like, I kind of love that he's treating that kind of like the secret sauce to the model is, well, you know what we're doing? We just made sure that we're not being illegal.
So they're disruptor, but with a small D,
yeah, exactly,
right? I mean, not Uber disruptor, where they're actually changing laws and things like that.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of funny that we're in a place right now where that is going to be an advantage as policy changes so quickly. The startups that, you know, you have a CEO, a CTO, and a head of policy. Like, that's a really important role to have when you're quote unquote disrupting things, is to make sure that you're disrupting legally. And the fact that these guys from day one have considered that, yes, it seems like we all should be making sure that our business is legal, but that's something they take very seriously.
So is this, if you'll pardon the mixed pun, pie in the sky, or is it up and running?
It is up and running, yes. Yeah,
so we can, like, take a crop duster to Milwaukee this afternoon?
We absolutely could. Let's do it.
You think? Is there one that could fit 4?
Well,
because I'm not going without you guys.
The problem is when you think of Uber for X, you just assume that affordability is attached to this. And this is a convenient service, but it's not a cheap service.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You are still, like, the picture we had on the site from the product is people with their pug dog and drinking champagne. And that's the clientele. It's not you and I, Steve, who just want to head to Milwaukee.
That trip to Traverse City is going to run you about $1,500 one way.
$1,500, right? And, you know, if you've ever been to Traverse City, it's nice, but you're going to want to come back. So there you're looking at $3,000. Okay. Well, we talked about this idea of an Uber ban or a driverless car ban in Chicago last Friday, but you guys write about it as well. Aldermans Burke and Beal, or Aldermen
Burke and Beal,
they want, speaking of disruptors, they want a preemptive strike, making driverless cars illegal in Chicago, which to me is sort of like, back in the day protecting the blacksmith agency when the cars were being invented.
That's the point, and we've talked about that, right? Like, the idea is we don't want driverless cars in the city until they're 100% safe. And if Burke and Beal were aldermen when the automobile was being created, Chicago would be the only city in the country still with horses. It's kind of a backwards way to approach it. And one of the things with this case is I get the criticism that you don't want to just give the keys to the car to Uber, again, pardon the pun, but it's kind of all or nothing. You're either innovative or you're late. And Pittsburgh deserves a lot of credit, the city which is being the first place to launch this pilot, for kind of saying, whatever you need, we'll give it
or
to you.
Or you're inviting or you're left behind.
Exactly, right? 100%. The second you put up a roadblock, they're not going to come. Like, Uber's not going to spend time when there are cities all over the country. It's not worth your time to overstep hurdles that we don't need to put in place.
I go across the street and get coffee every day before the show, and I can get almost hit by cars with drivers in them every afternoon.
I know. Like, really, it's not like they're going to be safer. Tesla tests that are happening that have been going on for 18 months, driverless cars, autonomous vehicles, are safer than human drivers.
Well, you're taking drunk people off the road. You're doing a lot. And a lot of different cities are sort of putting in steps to sort of lead the way. And let's remember, too, Chicago is already working on some steps. We reported a year ago that they are sort of working behind the scenes at thinking about driverless cars.
That's Jim Dahlke. Will Flanagan here from Chicago Inno. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, talk about this really cool business. A couple from Chicago, they went out west, I think, got some money, came back, and they're starting this packaged meal delivery program for kids from 6 months to 18 years old. That's coming up. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Will Flanagan, Jim Dahlke are here from Chicago. Okay, you guys, talk to me about Nurture Life. Now, we tried, I want to say Open Table. That's not it. That's the reservation. But we tried one of these, Hello Fresh, maybe it was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they would send you the food and you would make it, and it worked for a while. I don't know. But there are more and more of these outfits that will send you ingredients to make a meal, or they will just send you a meal altogether. And this one, Nurture Life, is about sending complete meals for your kids to your house, right?
Exactly. And they're targeting a different market. It's not just food delivery. It's food delivery for your kids. So the big pain point is saving parents that time of the day to pack their meals for their kids, whether it's a breakfast before they go to school, whether it's a lunch at school. And they serve every child from 6 months old to 18. So they're really targeting a big group. And there are a couple of Silicon Valley founders who relocated to Chicago.
I think probably a lot of foods that are available to give kids that we might buy aren't that healthy, right? And the idea is these are healthier, better prepared foods.
They say, we'll make your foods for you. It'll be organic. It'll be healthy. It'll be good for your kids, and sort of take the stress away from sort of scouring the grocery shelves trying to find that perfect ingredient.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Adam Carolla is the host of the most downloaded podcast ever. He's soon to be the host of a new live talk show on Spike TV. He's written several books, and he just bought a car for $4.4 million. But don't call him lucky. He is not lucky. Carolla is bringing his podcast to the Vic next Saturday, and he joins us on the phone line now. Adam Carolla, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got
booked. Wait a minute. It's this Saturday, right?
Yeah, this coming Saturday. Did I say next Saturday?
Yes, which I always get confused with. Some president needs to make a proclamation, because I run into that all the time where people go, next Wednesday. And I go, you mean this Wednesday? And they go, yeah, next week, next Wednesday.
Well, who knows? We might be about to elect someone who could do that. We'll see how that goes. Hey, I want to talk to you about the luck thing, because I saw a video you did, I think, for PragerU, and it interests me. People who, you know, do very well or very successful, and they talk about, was luck involved, was luck not involved? And you made it pretty clear that you think luck had nothing to do with your success. Sort that out for me a little bit.
Well, it's mainly I don't like people factoring in luck because you can't control it.
Right.
So, you know, people say to me all the time, well, you met Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, that was lucky. And it's like, well, I didn't meet Jimmy Kimmel. I sought him out, and I showed up at the radio station, and I waited out by the elevators until he came out. That was more of a stalking than it was luck. And it's like, all right, but then you met Jimmy. But, you know, when I was watching the Emmys last night thinking, my God, this was a schlubby guy, Jimmy's sports guy. He was doing the local radio station. Out here in Los Angeles, he was doing sports, and he and I were deciding where to go after the morning radio for lunch by how many coupons I had to the El Torito to get some authentic Mexican food. Like, and now I'm watching him up there.
He was very good.
None of that is luck. None of that is luck. He's lucky he wasn't, you know, hit by a semi-truck or stillborn or something like that. It didn't roll over and die in his crib when he was, you know, 2 months old. That's luck, but I don't like to count that stuff.
Okay, so, but there was an economist who wrote a book, Robert Frank, I think he might be out of Princeton, where he said people who do well often do well. They do have luck involved. I think you had him on your podcast, didn't you?
Well, probably, and I think that article, I mean, we've had everybody, so I'm just going to go with
yes. You know, made an impression.
In that article, he cited, I think, having a heart attack, and we had a heart attack, and there was a ambulance nearby. Otherwise, he'd be dead. And I agree that that's luck, or it's karma, or it's something. I don't know what you want to call having a heart attack in the middle of the desert versus having a heart attack with a paramedic a block away.
Right.
But either way, since we can't control that, why are we focusing and obsessing on it? And I think it's an excuse for those who aren't doing as well, which is
Right. Don't
think about me and how lucky I am or how lucky Jimmy was or how lucky anybody who has anything is, or, by the way, how unlucky a lot of people are. You can't control it. Put your head down and go to work.
I think people use it as sort of a sucker for themselves. It's like, well, he's really lucky, or that guy got really lucky. I didn't, and that's why I'm living on my parents' couch.
Right, and that's my sort of point when it comes to politicians. I hate it when Elizabeth Warren says she wishes she could tell you that the playing field wasn't slanted, but it is. You know, and people say, but it is. It's not fair, right? And I'll go, of course it's not fair. Nothing's fair, but stop beating that drum and giving people the incentive to not have incentive.
So do you think that your success was inevitable? I mean, luck aside, you had the drive and the wherewithal that it was going to happen?
I don't know. I've never really thought about inevitable or that feeling of inevitable. You know, I used to ride a motorcycle in the rain a lot. I could have been flipped a million times and not be here right now.
Okay, but I mean, aside from sort of health issues, did you always recognize that you had it in you that when you were working construction or whatever, that one day you were going to be a success at whatever it is it ended up being?
No, I never had that. What I had was, I'm just going to put my head down and I'm going to work.
Right.
I didn't really have any other sense of anything. I didn't come from any environment that had any sense of anything. It was where I come from. Nobody had any success. I had no conscious thoughts of it. I was just going to try to be less miserable the next year than I was the last.
I'm hoping that you're not very miserable, because it looks like things are going pretty well for you. So what do people this Saturday at the Vic, if people go, what do they see? What do they find out?
Well, this is a live podcast versus doing a stand-up show. So what they're going to get is the old timey. I mean, first off, anyone who's a fan of the podcast is going to get to see exactly how the podcast works.
Right.
This sort of live, and they're also going to get to marvel at the improvisational skills that we all have up there. They'll get to see it done in real time with no net and no strings attached.
Cool. Adam Carolla, thank you for joining us today. I'm sorry that our time was cut a little bit short, but I'm sure you understand the news of the day dictated that.
Understood completely. And anyone who comes out after the show, we always go out and sign and take pictures. So we'll look forward to seeing you at the Vic.
I don't know if you know the Vic. It's a nice spot right there on Sheffield. So enjoy it.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I played there before.
Cool. Great. All right. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
You bet. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson, Kim, and Jill as well. You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. We're just a little out of whack here because of all of the news that's been coming out of New York City this morning and this afternoon. So let's go to New York City. Scott Kleinberg is on a phone line, talks with us about social media from time to time. Scott, welcome back to the Business Lunch, my friend.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
How are things there? I mean, here... It was a big deal, obviously, but it wasn't a life-altering sure. attack. I just wonder what it's like where you are.
You know, I would say it's pretty much the same thing. I think everyone here really took it in stride, and they were really willing to let the police and the fire department handle it the best they can. And, you know, this morning when things were coming to a head because of the news that happened overnight, it started to pick up a little bit, but overall, I think New York handled it the way that everybody would expect New York to handle it.
Yeah, it's just funny where we've come because in many ways the attack wasn't, I mean, the injuries were much more severe in Boston, but it set out to be a very similar attack. And then you had a manhunt for someone. But we've just developed in such a way that we're reacting to it differently. Tell me about what you see on Twitter and other social media when it comes to this ordeal.
Yeah, I think what's interesting right now is the name of the town where the suspect was arrested is Linden, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it's just a few miles away from New York City. And it is trending right now. It's the number one trending topic right now on Twitter. And, you know, most people are surprised that this small town that, you know, would never otherwise make the news is all of a sudden being featured everywhere. So that's trending right now. And
what do you suppose about, Scott? I mean, that's to me, if I'm Googling Linden, I'm trying to find it on a map. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think in this case, you know, it's so easy to say that because the way the headlines were coming out, it was saying Linden police officer took down suspect. So that just kind of became the thing that to look up.
Okay, let's anything else on that you want to bring up?
The only thing that I'll say about it is it's interesting how social media seems to really just the way the whole attitude changes. Everybody was very quick to notice that this guy was not particularly smart because everybody was talking about the fact that police said he left his fingerprints on the devices. And one of the cell phones that was attached to one of the devices apparently was very easily traceable to him. And then in the end, they found this guy sleeping on a sidewalk outside of a bar.
Right.
And a police officer recognized him. So it wasn't really difficult to catch him after they started to catch him. But of course, that doesn't change the fact that the entire city and country is on edge.
Or not. I mean, that's sort of the thing, isn't it, that this guy did this. A couple of dozen people were hurt, nearly 30 people hurt, and yet we're looking at him like, well, he's not much of a threat. I mean, it's kind of an odd dichotomy there, I guess.
It really is. And now they're starting to say that they don't see any sign of a wider cell that he's connected to. But earlier this morning, they were saying he was most definitely connected to a wider cell. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things where the news is going to go back and forth and we'll finally, you know, find out for sure.
All right. We talked to Scott about different social media aspects. So I wanted to, you know, start with New York, but we're not going to limit it to that. You also are talking this week about Fandango working with Snapchat, and why that's significant is, you know, everyone's all about the apps, or at least they used to be. But the idea now is that people aren't using apps. They're accessing those sort of applications from within other groups like Messenger or Facebook or now Snapchat.
Exactly right. So now Fandango is talking about working with Snapchat to make it so people who are using Snapchat won't have to leave the app to buy a movie ticket. And, you know, a few years ago, that would have been just like you were just saying, that would have been a shocking thing. Oh, I don't have to go to a separate app to do this. That's unbelievable. But now that's what people expect. People actually look at it as almost inconvenience to have to leave the app that they're in. I have no problem going to a different app, but, you know, these places, they want a way for Snapchat users. They want a way for Messenger users. Now Apple's messages are all about everything working within the app. And it's really interesting to see how that's evolving.
But if you go to Apple TV, they're saying that TV is going to be all about apps, right? So can one fit with the other?
I think it can, but I don't know that people are using it that way. I mean, I get what Apple is trying to do. Apple is trying to, like, Twitter's Periscope. You know, Periscope is a big part of Apple TV now. And Apple is assuming that people are going to go from their mobile device and they're going to walk in their door and they're going to turn on their Apple TV and they're going to continue looking at the video from Periscope on their phone on Apple TV. Or they're going to go on their Apple TV and they're going to look for the video of the day and then do the same thing outside the house on a different device. I just don't think we operate that way. It's one thing to watch a TV show in one place and pick it up somewhere else, but to do the exact same thing on your mobile device and do it, you know, in your living room, I think that's a stretch right now.
One other thing you pointed out, I think I get to get a new iPhone 7. I'm in one of those plans. I have to check that out. But there's not the press button now to access your home screen, which, you know, is or is not a big deal, but it might be when it starts getting a little colder around here.
Yeah, because just like the way the touchscreen works, you are not going to be able to use it with gloves on. You're going to need those special types of gloves that everybody talks about during the winter that work with touchscreens, or you're going to have to take your gloves off to use it because the button operates more like a trackpad than it does an actual button. And people, you know, for all the happiness that they get about, you know, new technology and what this means, they get really upset when they find out that, you know, they have to take off their gloves to use their iPhone.
That's Scott Kleinberg. Hey, let's do this again next week, okay?
That sounds great, Steve.
Well, a little bit more time. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.